Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Y'all, welcome to St. Luke's this morning, and glad y'all are here for worship. And as we do, today's about being ready for giving thanks for Thanksgiving, and also ready for the miracle that comes with knowing who Christ is. How many of you are ready or in need of a miracle in your life? Anybody? For those that don't have your hands raised, I'll take yours. Okay, so I'll be glad. And so today I want you to be ready for a miracle. Think about all this as we sing, as we pray, scripture, all the stuff that we do today. It's all going to be pointed in a direction to get you ready for the Thanksgiving miracle that comes in Jesus Christ. And as we do that, the orchestra is going to play Give Thanks, and just for you to start focusing your mind and getting our hearts ready for what God's going to do today. I look around and there's a few of you, your faces I'm not really familiar with, so just in case you haven't figured it out, I'm not Andy Hurst. I'm Pastor Matt. I'm one of the other pastors out at the Southwest campus, and so we swap every blue moon, and apparently it's a blue moon this week, and so we're Andy's out at the Southwest delivering a message today, and so I'm here, and really just enjoy being here, glad here. It feels a little bit like home, of course, for me. And just appreciate that, and all Andy's done to get ready for today. Just to let you know kind of what's coming up, December, there's a lot of things going on in the life of the church, and it really starts next weekend with tree trimming. But then in December, we have the Christmas musical, which is an outreach program, an outreach opportunity that we have. And you all should have a ticket today, or there's more out there in the back if you did not get one. You do not have to have a ticket to get in, but you do have to have a ticket to go talk to someone about what's coming up at the Christmas musical. So this is really for you, for a conversation starter, for your friends, your family, your neighbors. It's an easy way to invite somebody to church without really inviting them to church, all right? And so it's a great way for you to be able to do that. And I understand, I even have a part in the Christmas musical. I didn't know it until today, and Andy said that he gave me one, and I said, well, I haven't even tried out. And he said, don't worry, you don't have to try out, you're a natural. I said, oh, thank you. And then I went and looked at the cast list, and apparently I'm the donkey. Amen. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Ushers, y'all come forward and let me pray for us and our offering today. Lord God, thank you, thank you, thank you that we have the opportunity to give back to you what you have given to us. And Lord, and really we're not giving you what you gave to us, we're only giving you a portion of what you have given us, Lord, which is really immeasurable. Even in our time of need, even in our scarcity, if we have such, Lord, we have more than most people around the world, really most of all creation. And so, Lord, let us give back to you just that which you call us to. Lord, let us prayerfully consider it. And as we do, Lord, let us also be prayerful of how we distribute those resources. Lord, how we show other people your love so that they can come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are here in your presence, Lord. I just pray that we would know you, Lord, that we would hear from you, and Lord, that we would understand the calling on our lives. Lord, I know there's lots of different circumstances in this room this morning, and Lord, I pray that you would just help us set those aside as you speak to us, and Lord, that we would not be distracted. Lord, that we would be focused on you. Lord, even for me, Lord, as I just try to communicate your holy word to each and every one of us. Lord, we love you and we thank you in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So again, the question is, are you really ready for a miracle? Because I think for a lot of us, we want one, but we don't position ourselves to hear from the Lord or to receive the miracles that He has in place for us. Because when we think of miracles, most of the time, we just think of really big needs that we have and not the smaller everyday miracles that I know come to us through the Lord. And so you're going to hear today about a man who couldn't walk and how his miracle came to him. But really, it's not about just the moment of the miracle. It's about the circumstances leading up to it is where I think we find ourselves and how we can position ourselves better. This is out of Acts 3, 1 through 10. And just focus on this, and as I read it, just kind of imagine and picture the circumstance in which it happened. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, and so did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold have I not I, but what I have I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, where he began walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit at the gate and begged at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And so for us to hear this story, I think we can find ourselves in the midst of it in a lot of different ways. Because the first thing I want to point out about this man is that really, not to diminish what his ailment was, okay? I never want to do that for anybody, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual or emotional, relational, whatever it is. Our problems are important, and what's important to us is always important to God. I want you to hear that. I know a lot of times when we hear somebody's minor problems in comparison to our great problems, we want to say, you know, you just really need to put it in perspective. But that's really not true for them, right? Because it may be their whole world, okay? When a child's family pet dies, okay, That's a huge deal. And or when just whatever it might be, okay? So let's always remember that it's a big deal to them, it's a big deal to God. And so for this man, I know he couldn't walk, that's a big deal, but just think about it. Only his ankles and his feet were the problem. His legs worked, his knees worked, his hips worked, his mind worked, his mouth worked, his sight, his eyes worked, everything, all of his other mental and physical capacities were fine. Now then, but what did he focus on? He only focused on the fact that he couldn't walk. And in that, he got himself into a cycle. He got himself into a spot in life. And he was sitting outside the temple gates where he couldn't go in, okay, because he had all these problems. And because you talk about a weird setup, the place where he needed to be was inside, but because he was not whole, not restored, then he couldn't go in to get healed. Okay, the one place that he needed to be was inside where the healing was taking place, but he couldn't get in because he needed healing. See, that's what we do to ourselves. We think because we're not in a good spot in life, we don't want to talk to other people about it. We're not in a good spot in our relationships, and so we don't want to be with other people. We're not in a good spot spiritually, and so, well, I don't think I need to be with all those perfect people in church. Amen? Because all of y'all are perfect. Amen? Oh, some of y'all said amen at the wrong time. No, I mean, that's what happens. Excuse me. As we get into these spots and we get into these cycles, yet we forget about everything else that's okay with us or great with us. Okay? And so you can think of these things in your own life. What is it that's causing you to claim all of your attention and not the rest of your life that is good? I heard an admiral in the Navy that was speaking to me and a group of people one time. He said, what we tend to do is we always focus on the negative and we tend to forget to accentuate the positive. Never have forgotten that. Not that we don't deal with the negative, but that's what we focus on. And for me, I know that sometimes we get caught up in that. And then the other thing I want to point out just quickly in our own circumstances that relate to this man sitting outside the gate is his friends. Okay, I'm going to air quote his friends because I don't think they were that great a friend. Because here's what they did. He couldn't get to the gate, right? He couldn't do for himself. And so they went by. They took time every day to go by his house. I mean, they took extra time, maybe if they got up before work or before school or whatever it was. They went by and they picked him up and took him. Oh, they picked him up. That was pretty good. Did y'all get that? They picked him up and they took him. Boy, y'all are going to have to catch up. This is about the best I got today. They picked him up and they took him to the gate. Now you think, that is so nice of them. That is so wonderful. Those are great friends. I say those are terrible friends because they did it all of his life instead of encouraging him to move past his ailment, to move past his problem, and to start living life. Those aren't friends. Those are enablers. Those are people that just want to keep you in the same place for whatever reason, maybe because they don't know the difference, and I'll get to that in a minute, because he didn't know the difference. He didn't know. Here's one reason I think that he kept doing that day after day after day, because it was his ankles and his feet that were weak, okay? And weakness requires nothing. Retweet that. Weakness requires nothing of us. We just get to stay in the same spot day after day after day after day. We get to not do anything to get better day after day after day after day. And guess what happens to weakness when you don't try to make it stronger? It gets weaker and it gets weaker and it gets weaker. And so for him, they were just enabling him. Weakness requires nothing. And here's the excuse we always have. Well, I've always been this way. Or Andy Hurst always says, hold on, I got to count. Yeah, seven. He always says, this is the seven worst words you could ever use about your life. This is just the way I am. Somebody find scripture that says you're the way you are just because that's the way you've always been. You're not. The way you are is to be transformed. It's the way you always will be. Not the way you've always been, but the way you always will be. That's the Holy Spirit word right there. That's not in the notes. Thank you, Lord. Because we really, it's about transformation. And here's the problem, though, is what happens is maybe the reason sometimes we don't want to transform, the reason we don't want to get strong, the reason we don't want to be different is because then we have accountability. Then we actually have to do something. Then we actually have to be who God has called us to be. Then we actually do need to go to church and go to Sunday school and go to a small group and go talk to our friends and go be accountable and hold them accountable too. Because it's not just about us. When he was restored, he had a responsibility after that that we'll talk about in just a minute. But here's the other thing is I think the other reason that he didn't want to be restored or his friends didn't know to help him be restored is sometimes it's because we don't have a reference for restoration. We don't have a reference to what that is. Okay, and so what that means is how do we help people in that? How do we help people become who God's called them to be if they don't have an idea? How do I teach you how to pray and fast if I don't model for you, if I don't talk to you about praying and fasting? How can I talk to you about laying hands on somebody and praying for somebody if I've never shown you how to do it? How can I teach you how to be a servant? How can I teach you how to be hospitable? How can I teach you to be a teacher without really showing you? I can't. And there's no expectation. How many of you have asked somebody to do something, and then when you came back and they had done it, you said, God, why did you do it that way? Right? well, you just told me to do it, and I did it. Well, I didn't want it done that way. Okay? This is my greatest weakness. Church staff is on the front row, and Shallon's laughing. I'm taking offense to that. Because I do that all the time, and I'm having to learn to say, here's the way I want it done. Not because my way is better. It's just sometimes I have a vision and I know what I want it to look like. And for me to be able to carry on with that, I need it to look a certain way. But yet, we don't always do that. And then we get mad or we get frustrated or whatever it is. We don't have a reference. How many of you, so let me tell you where I learned this. The biggest life lesson of all. Growing up on the farm, we had workers that would come up from South Texas and Mexico in April and May. They would work all summer long. Same families for all of my life. Okay, so for at least the 15 years that I grew up on the farm. And they would come every summer, super families, great. I mean, I just can't tell you how wonderful that part of our life was. But, and then they would leave, okay? They would leave after harvest. And most of them didn't speak any English, okay? And so it was always an issue trying to communicate. And so one day I was telling Adolfo was the dad, and he was just, love Adolfo. And as I was telling him how to shred, okay, we got a new shredder, and I said, okay, you need to shred four rows at a time, and then you need to skip four rows and make a wide turn, and then do those four, make a wide turn, and here's why, so you don't have to pull the tractor, turn it, back it up, turn it, back it up, and then get back, so much quicker. Okay, and I said, once you do that, when you get to the end, I said, go back and get the other rows. So, as I'm doing something else, I was changing the oil on a well. I remember it very, very vividly. And I can hear the radio, the CB radio. Those are these little things you used to talk into like this for y'all that don't know what a CB radio is. My stepdad just screaming over the radio for me to go stop Adolfo on the tractor. And as I turned and looked, he was doing exactly what I told him to do. Imagine the rows in the field. He did this, just like I told him to do. And then when he got to the end, he did exactly what I told him to do, go back across. Some of y'all are like, Here's what he was doing. He was going back across the rows like this, and the back of the shredder was doing this. And all I could do is, as I saw it, the drive shaft of the shredder ripped out of the gearbox. Was that his fault? He should have known better. But no, he did exactly what I told him to do. See, he didn't have a reference to what I was trying to explain to him. I should have shown him. In life, what happens right here for Peter and John, he was about to give this man a reference. Because listen, he didn't have a reference to what walking was. He'd never done it before. His ankles were, I don't know what the issue was. We don't know, but they didn't work. They couldn't hold him up. I don't know why, but he didn't have a reference to walking. So when Peter said, you're healed, he went, great. Fantastic. What does that mean? Get up and walk. Well, I've never done that before. Peter reaches down and he grabs him and he pulls him up. And see, there's power in the healing of the Holy Spirit at that moment. But guess where else there was power? This is my word for it. You will not find this word in Scripture, by the way. There was power in the yank. Right? Get up! Get up and let's go. How many of you need a yank? I know I do. A lot. A lot. And there was power in the yank. But when he stood up, there was also one more thing for him to get him ready for his miracle, and that was courage. Because we have to have courage for what God's calling us to. Anything. Sometimes it's big, and sometimes it's small, and sometimes it's just different, and you have to have that courage. When he got up, anybody ever seen a baby giraffe learn how to walk? Isn't that fantastic? And the reason it's so funny to me is, I mean, it's a big deal for a baby giraffe because if they fall, it's a long way down, okay? I mean, it's like Frank Anderson falling. There he is back in the back. I made that joke in first service, and I look over, and he got up and left. I don't know what the deal was. He wasn't even there to hear it. But I mean, it takes courage. It takes courage. So a couple of weeks ago, just quickly, the courage was for me, actually it was about, I don't know, 2 months ago, it was in October. Courage was for me, there was a group, I heard about this group of women, okay, all women up in Turkey, Texas, that get on a motorhome and they drive around, and all this group of women, all they do is pray and prophesy over everything that they see. That's pretty impressive. And then I started hearing about what they prayed and prophesied over and the things that happened. And I said, I need to get on that bus. I want to be on that bus. And so I got myself invited. I got there. It's a Class A motorhome. It's giant. On the inside of it, there were a couple of, if you've ever seen inside a really nice motorhome, they had a couch and a couple of recliners and stuff. But then for the rest of it, it was just lined with folding chairs. And I went, this is a lot of folding chairs. Oh my gosh. All these women started coming, and they had papers, and they were prepared. They had Bibles. One of them came with a horn. Ta-da-da-da. I mean, I'm like, boy, this is gonna be a deal. I'm gonna love this. And I got on the bus, and there was a lady sitting right beside where the driver sits. And as soon as I got on, she said, "You're Pastor Matt." I said, I didn't be my cute self and said, well, of course I am. I'm the only man here. Okay, I didn't say that. I just said, I am Pastor Matt. And she prophesied over me for 2 or 3 minutes. I mean, I just walked in the door. See, I had no reference for what was about to happen except for the fact she said, she named things in my life that I had done. I don't know this lady. She doesn't know me. And she said, God has been very faithful to you and has answered the desires of your heart. And I said, yes, he has. And we started talking about that. And she said, she goes, all that was really good. She goes, but here's the word for you today. And I'm like, yes. She said, you're not asking big enough. I'm like, okay. And so from that point on, I said, Lord, show me the desires of my heart. Show me what needs to be, what is big enough? How do I need to ask bigger? And this thing, I didn't know. And so I just kept going, and I kept on, and I kept on, and I kept asking, and I kept praying. And so about 2 or 3 weeks after that, I'm in my yard. And I'm in the backyard. How many of you have fescue for grass? Anybody have fescue with me? I thought I'd seen you in purgatory. Fescue dies in the summer. It's too hot for fescue in West Texas. Some cruel person, non-Christian, brought that to us and planted it somewhere. It's really pretty most of the time, but here's the deal, is you have to reseed it every year. You have to overseed it and fill it back in where it dies. And if you have dogs, unless you have potty trained them on the commode in your house, there's lots of little dead spots all over your yard. Right? So I'm in the backyard like I do every fall, and I'm raking and I'm cleaning up and I'm getting all the dead grass out, and I'm starting to reseed. And as I'm listening to a podcast on my phone, it's talking about the key to a great spiritual relationship with God is being just immersed in Scripture. I'm like, oh, that's a no-brainer. Thank you. And so, but she just kept on, and she kept on, and she would come back to it time and time and time again. And as I'm raking, I look down. Can anybody see that? If you can't, it's right here. Show the next picture. This key. Oh, wow. Who said that? Oh, wow. The key to a relationship with God is being immersed in Scripture. And as I'm raking my backyard that I have raked in that same spot, because that's where the dogs go do their business most of the time, never seen that key. You can see it's been there a while. It's polished up, been in my pocket a little bit more. This key was laying in the dirt. And I just went, thank you, Lord. See, the key is being in relationship with God. Not outside the gate, but in the gate. With your maladies, with your problems, with your hurt, with your heartache, with your Facebook self and with your real self. with every part of your life, to be inside the gate, be in there with God, to be in there where the stuff's happening. My new thing is to be on the bus. To be on the bus. Because if you're not, you're just going to stand and you're going to sit outside the gate and people are going to keep passing you by going to where God is. You can't get a miracle, well, you can because he did. It's a bad analogy, isn't it? You can't get a miracle outside the gate, but you really can. But still, you need to be in. You need to be inside. You need to be where the work's going on. You need to be asking God where he wants you to go and where he wants you to be so you can get your miracle. So you can be there. So you can be ready. So you can be courageous, right? So you can be attentive. That's the other thing and the last thing. The beggar, the guy's sitting there and he's begging for money. Scripture is really clear. You got to read carefully. Close reading. Remember, fifth grade? Close reading. Close reading says, it tells us, he was begging for money. Peter and John went, and it said, and then Peter had to get his attention. See, that's like me saying, Lord, would you do this for me and this for me and this for me? And Lord, I know so-and-so's marriage is in trouble. Would you help me with them and these relationships and our money problems and all that? And then me going off and do something else and not paying attention anymore. See, that's what he was doing. He was just saying, somebody help me. And then he doesn't care. They're just all walking by. And Peter and John have to get his attention. You have to be attentive to see your miracle. You have to be attentive. I mean, I could have gone right over that key 100 times. Apparently, I have. Okay? But still, it was there, and it was waiting. Your miracle is there, and it is waiting. Are you ready for it? Are you really ready for a miracle? Because that guy really wasn't until the Holy Spirit got Peter's attention first and said, heal him. And then he turned to him and got his attention. You might be somebody else's miracle just waiting to happen. Are you listening to God? Or are you just traveling along? So, here's the key. Get ready for your miracle. Dive into Scripture. Dive into prayer. Dive into your relationship with God. And He'll reveal it to you just in the right time. Let's pray. Lord, I'm always aware of your presence, but Lord, I'm not always looking for it for myself. I'm always aware of your direction and your love for all of us, but so many times I just gloss over it for myself. Lord, I want to be attentive to you. Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready for what you want to do in my life. Lord, so for all of us, Lord, I pray that we would see your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, I pray that we would stop letting you pass us by, Lord, and we would get up and walk and follow you, leaping for joy, rejoicing in giving you all the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.